Okay, Tesamid Beis. What did I just see? 7 lines in the top. 9b1, second column. The Mishnah was explaining, the Gemara is explaining, the Gemara is up to the 8th explanation of the argument between Rameh and the Chachamim about Meitzi Shemra, if you need 3 or 23. Rameh says you need 3 Dayanim to do it, because it's basically monetary, and the Chachamim hold you need 23 because it could come to capital punishment. What's the scenario? Because if the case is the husband comes the day after the wedding and he says, my wife is not a virgin and she committed adultery after the Kedushin. Okay? So the din is, if he's right, she gets killed because she committed adultery. If he's wrong, he has to give 100 kesef. Okay, he has to pay 100 kesef to the father or to the girl we'll see. So the Gemara says, Rameh says you need 3, the Chum says you need 23. Rameh basically says it's only monetary, therefore you only need 3, and the Chacham say you could come to capital punishment, so you need 23. And the Gemara elaborated in 7 reasons, we're up to number 8, 7 concepts of what the argument between Rameh and the Chacham are. Another answer is, again, Rameh says it's basically monetary, so therefore 3 is enough, and the Chacham is basically, it could come to capital punishment, so you need 23. So he says, Iboisim, another answer, again, Diskachosh bibdikis, but Diskachosh bichachkiris. The problem is like this. In testimony, there's what's called chakira and bidika. The Torah says, V'darashta v'chakarta heitiv. When it comes to witnesses, Bezdin needs to make sure the witnesses are saying the truth. So what is chakira? For instance, when it happened, exactly this here. Time and place of the crime. What time did the crime happen? Where did it happen? Okay? Now, the din is, if any of the witnesses contradict each other in these chakiras, obviously it's not a kosher witness.
It's a hazama. Yeah.
It could come to hazama.
But this is not hazama? At the same time?
It could be hazama. Hazama.
What's hazama?
Hazama is when witnesses testified that Monday morning in L.A., Reuven killed Shimon at 11 o'clock. Another 2 witnesses come and say, how could you testify what happened when you were with us in Hawaii? Okay? So if they contradict, one witness says it happened at 10 o'clock in the morning. Another witness, 2 witnesses said it happened at 10 o'clock in the morning. 2 other witnesses said it happened 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? They cancel each other out. According to all opinions, you don't have witnesses. Because they're lying in basic facts. When it happened and where it happened. Correct? Now, 1 second. Then you have what's called bedikas. Bedikas are just additional questions, not mandatory questions, for the Bezdin to figure out what's going on over here. For instance, they would ask him, were they light clothing or dark clothing? What was the criminal wearing? So sometimes they could contradict each other. So one opinion says they're good, and one opinion says they're no good. Everybody says if they contradict in time and place, then for sure it's not a kosher testimony. If they, one guy said, 2 witnesses say the guy was wearing lighter garments, and the other guy said they were wearing darker garments, so we're going to see, there's 2 opinions, if that invalidates the testimonies or not. So he says like this. The case over here is that they disputed the bedika, but not in the chakira. That means the essential things, they were saying the same. In the non-essential things, they weren't saying the same. They're arguing the machlekes between Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Here, the Gemara, the Mepharshim say, when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said things when he was young, they called him Ben Zakkai. When he was older, they called him Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai. Okay? Because the Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Mai Sabadik Ben Zakkai Be'uksi Te'inim. But one time there was a case, again, of capital punishment, and Ben Zakkai, examined the witnesses about stems of figs. In other words, there was a murder under a tree. That was the case that happened. Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai's time, 2 witnesses testified about a murder under a tree. Okay? So not only did he ask where and when, but he also asked, the stems under the tree, were they thick or thin? Mm-hmm. And because the witnesses contradicted each other, Rabbi Yehuda Zakeh said, there's not a good testimony here. Now that's a very minute detail. It's not a detail that's relevant to the murder. Time and place is relevant to the murder. But whether the stems underneath the fig tree were thick or thin, who cares? But you have, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda Zakeh said, they're no good. Right? So therefore, Rav Meir holds on Rabbi Yehuda ben Zakkai. Because what happened with this case of Moitzi Shemra? The witnesses said everything the same when it came to Chakiras, the important things. But when it came, what was the girl wearing? They contradicted each other. So Rav Meir says, forget it, there's no capital punishment. They contradicted each other. Even though it's not essential testimony, but the fact that they, like Ben Zakeh holds. Ben Zakeh said if they contradicted each other in a minute detail about how thick the fig stems were, it's not a good testimony. Therefore, if there's no capital punishment, what does it fall back to? Monetary issue. So the mayor says 3 is enough. Chachamim hold, even if they contradict themselves in bedikas, it doesn't matter. It's still good. And therefore, the Chacham hold, you need 23 because it might come to capital punishment.
What if one
says... No, I'm sorry. I may just did it the wrong way. The Chacham hold, like Rabbi Yehuda Zakeh and Rabbi Meir doesn't.
Is it a must that the two sets of witnesses witnessing the same, testifying for the same event, have seen each other? Is it necessary?
The what? The witnesses have to see each other.
The two sets...
No, they don't have to see each other. No. In order for, thank you. In order for witnesses to testify as a group, they have to see each other.
These two guys have
the two guys testify. So I'm sorry, no, I was right the first time. Chachamim argue with Ben Zakkai, and therefore they hold it doesn't matter if they contradict themselves in the Bedikas, and therefore it's still capital punishment, so you need 23. The mayor agrees with Ben Zakkai that as long as they contradict in anything, there's no good witnesses, so all it is the regular three. Okay. New case. Amar Rav Yosef said. Okay, now remember we learned, let me just preface this again. 9b2. Okay? Tesam and Beis in the middle of the page. We learned a din of Azama. Azama, there's a caution as Azama. Okay, just to get us straight before we go further. Hakhasha, you're going to spill that coffee all over me. That's what's going to happen in a second. Hakhasha is when they deny the facts. Meaning, two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon. Two witnesses say Yaakov killed Shimon. Okay? They're arguing about the facts of the case. Two say Reuven killed them. Two say Yaakov killed them. What's the din by Akhosha? It's called Akhosha, contradicting each other. They cancel each other out, and there's no testimony. That's it. You have no witnesses. That's what the Torah says.
But that's not Hazama, though.
I said Akhosha. I'm going to explain Hazama in a second. Akhosha means they contradict each other about the facts, even if it's 2 against 100. We learned already 2 and 100 are equal. If they contradict themselves in the facts, there is no testimony. They cancel each other out. There are no witnesses. Okay? That's number one. Then there's what's called Hazama. Hazama means that if two witnesses testify, Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA at 11 o'clock. Okay? Two witnesses say, come to Beis Din. We testify that Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning, 11 o'clock in LA. Two other witnesses don't argue the facts. They say, we don't know who killed anybody. All we know is, how could you two testify that you saw a murder in LA Monday morning at 11 o'clock, Monday morning you were with us in New York? So that is what's called Hazama. You're not, we said, maybe Reuven did kill Shimon. We don't know. We're not arguing the facts. We're testifying against the validity of the witness's testimony, that how can you testify what you said, you weren't there. So the Torah says, and it's because of, again, illogical, like all the other laws here, that you believe the second group. That's it. Why is the second group better than the first group? We don't know. But that's what the Torah says. 1 second. You always believe the second group. Now, what do you do to those witnesses, the first group that testify? You do to them what they wanted to do to the guy they testified against. When they testified, Reuven killed Shimon, basically wanted Reuven to get capital punishment. Correct? A murder. Capital punishment. So therefore, you kill the witnesses. If they testified that we saw a loan take place, and therefore they want him to pay money, and you invalidate the witnesses to Azama, they have to pay money. Okay, that's the halach. Now, let's take it to step two. What happens two witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon? Okay? Then another two witnesses come and do Hazama to the first group. So you believe the second group. What happens if a third group comes to the second group and say, how could you say that you were with him in New York Monday morning, you were with us in Israel Monday morning? Okay, so it goes another step down. Now the Hazama witnesses became Hazama themselves. Now, because group 3 wanted to kill group 2, because by testifying Hazama, they're basically saying you're going to get, because that's what you wanted to do to the first guy, so that's what we're going to do to you. Right? So the second Adam Zayman, the first group of Adam Zayman are testifying in a way to get a guy killed, the two witnesses killed. Right? Now they became Hazama, so you do to them what they wanted to do to the guys who testified against. So you killed the third group.
But the first group is off the hook?
First group's off the hook.
No, the first guy is off the hook.
First guy's
off the hook.
The first group is off the hook.
No. Let's do.
Well, 1 second. This is what the Gemara is going to discuss now.
One question about this.
What?
What if the third group becomes invalidated?
We'll get to it.
So you keep going. You always, the Torah says, believe it or not, you always believe the last group.
No, if the third group in this case is no good, so you go back to the second group, believing the second group, and doing to the first group what they wanted to do.
Yeah, you do. Well, the Gemara's going to talk about it. Let's see now.
Rabbi,
what?
Can you do Hazama on only one of the witnesses? Or has
it been no, it has to be both.
What's the source of Hazama?
Torah, it's a pasuk in Chumash.
What's this? No, the word. Where does it come from? Hazama.
Azama means kashazamam, like they plan to do. I don't know exactly the definition.
Okay.
Amar Rav Yosef. Hevi abal edim shezinsa. What happens if the, again, meitzi shemra case, back to our Mishnah. A guy comes the next morning, he says, my wife was not a virgin, she committed adultery, and he brings witnesses that she committed adultery between the kedushin and the wedding. And then, Behevi Yoav Edim, the father of the girl, who's sticking up for his daughter, brings witnesses to Adu Hazama, to the witnesses of the Baal. Okay? Now, the husband brought witnesses she committed adultery at Monday morning, 11 o'clock. Then the father of the girl brings witnesses that they're not kosher witnesses. Edi Abaal Ne'erogim Ve'ena Meshalman. Now, What did they want to do? If the Baal is right, you have to get the whole picture clear. If the husband is right, the woman gets killed. If the husband's not right, then he has to pay. No, he has to pay. $100.
But he was going to get her killed.
I don't know. He's not a witness.
Oh.
He's not a witness. Nothing happens to him. The husband says, my wife committed adultery. If he's right, if the first two witnesses came and said she committed adultery, you kill her because she committed adultery. If it's not true, then the husband has to pay the wife $100. 100 shekel, whatever. Yeah?
Can't divorce her.
Right, and he can never divorce. Right. Now, so if the witnesses are right, she gets killed. If the witnesses are wrong, the husband has to pay.
Is it monetary or is this?
No, then it became monetary. Because he's lying. Okay, he has no proof that she committed adultery, so for the embarrassment, meitzi shem ra, for the embarrassment, he has to pay her $100, 100 shekel.
Is it 3 or is it 20?
What?
23 or
3? No, so then it becomes 3, but that's not relevant now. The bottom line, what's the... Now, the husband brings witnesses that she committed adultery, therefore they want her to get killed. Then the father brings witnesses that disqualified those witnesses. Hazama. So those witnesses, the first group of witnesses that wanted to kill the girl, they get killed. Because that's what they wanted to kill the girl. Correct? They wanted to kill the girl, and therefore they became Hazar, Edom Zaymimin, so therefore you kill them. Now the question is, do they have to pay the money? Why? Because the bottom line is, they wanted her to lose the ksuba money too. If a wife commits adultery, she gets divorced and she loses her ksuba. You don't pay her ksuba to a woman who commits adultery. Right? So the husband has to divorce. Under normal case, a wife commits adultery. Right? So the husband has to divorce her. She doesn't get the ksuba money. The 200, because she committed adultery.
But she gets killed. How can you give it to a dead person?
Let's say there's no witnesses. Whatever. Okay? Or nowadays. Okay? She loses the ksuba. Correct? Now, when the first witnesses testified that she committed adultery, there's two things they wanted to accomplish. Number one, to kill her for committing adultery. And the husband doesn't have to pay her inheritors, meaning the father, the money of the ksuba. Correct? There's two things that happen over here. By those witnesses testifying, the girl committed adultery. Number one, she gets killed. And secondly, the husband doesn't have to pay the ksuba. There's no ksuba. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, so I wanted to get two things done. Capital punishment plus a payment of money. Now that you've invalidated the witnesses through Azama, so normally they should be killed, plus pay the money for the ksuba that they wanted to lose. Because they wanted them not to get the father not to get the ksuba.
Yeah, good.
Right? So Rav Yosef comes along and says, they only get killed, they don't have to pay the ksuba.
The husband does though.
Huh?
The husband should pay the ksuba.
She's innocent, they're staying married. She ain't going nowhere.
They're staying married, okay. She's
innocent. They're not going anywhere. He's not allowed to divorce. But the question is, those witnesses that came to testify that the woman committed adultery, they wanted to do two things. Number one, killed. She gets killed. And secondly, there's no payment of ksuba. Right? That means the father would be losing the ksuba that he would get for his daughter. So l'cheira, if the Edom became Edom Zaymimin, they should have to get killed, plus pay the $100 or $200 to the father. Because that's what they wanted to stop.
Yeah, but Rabbi,
so the Rashi says that doesn't happen. Why? Because there's a din in the Torah that's called Kimlei B'drabamine. When a person is obligated two punishments, one death and one monetary for the same act, when you get killed, you don't have to pay the money.
Who decides? What's the Kibler on the net? Who decides which one is more?
Death or money? What are you, Jack Benny?
The father doesn't care. Okay, this guy, I'd rather get the money.
If he has to get the death punishment, he must.
If you get death punishment, I'll give you an example. If somebody desecrates Shabbos, he gets killed, right? While I'm desecrating Shabbos, I'm damaging your property.
Okay.
You know how to make a fire on Shabbos, right? If somebody makes a fire, you get killed, yeah? According to one opinion. Do I have to pay the house that I burned down?
Yes.
So the din is no, because I'm gambling capital punishment. Kimlei means you give him v'drabba minei, the bigger of the punishments. The fact that the guy's getting killed, he doesn't need to pay the monetary thing. Therefore, the same thing is said by Edom Zaymimin. Because the simultaneous act that happened to them is causing him death and punishment of money, so they only get death and they don't have to pay the money. That's what Rav Yosef is saying, the rule. He's not saying a new rule, this is an old rule.
Only in the case of death, no other two.
Only, well, we'll see later in the Gemara. If you get Malchus and pay and Chorus and pay, well, the Gemara is going to go into, not here, later on. But the Gemara is not done yet. The Gemara is going to say what happens if the case goes further. In other words, to extend the case one step further, like we said before. The husband brings witnesses the woman committed adultery. The father brings witnesses that disqualify those witnesses. Then the husband brings witnesses that disqualify those witnesses.
The father's witnesses.
The father's witnesses. So now you have a double hazama. Right? The husband's witnesses happened to them hazama. And now the father's witnesses became Edom Zaymimin. So what do you do there? Chazer v'hevi bal Edom v'yizimun le'edi yoav. Now, the husband brings witnesses that the father's witnesses were no good. Now, what did the father's witnesses want to do? They wanted to kill the first set of witnesses. Because they testified that the girl did commit adultery, right? So now, the husband's witnesses are testifying against the father's witnesses by saying that they're hazama. So what do you do to the witnesses? They get killed. Right? But they have to pay.
But the husband's the first
sin. Huh?
The husband's witnesses are the first sin.
Right. So the husband brought witnesses. The father brought witnesses against them.
Yeah. We must believe the second sin.
Right. But now, the husband brought a third set
to validate the first.
Which invalidated the second set.
So now retroactively, his is good. The first set is good. Now.
That's not what the issue over here.
No,
the issue over here is.
No, there is. The first set is good.
The issue over here is, what did the second group of witnesses from the father want to do? Kill the first group of witnesses. Right? So therefore we do to them. But there's also ksuba money involved.
Okay.
So over here, they get killed and they pay.
Who pays?
The estate.
The witnesses before they die are at the estate. Why?
The second.
Right.
The only one who's going to pay was the husband.
Why? We just said, Kim Lebed Rabbi Mine. This is the chiddush of Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef's first case was telling us a din that we all know. Here's a big chiddush. What Rav Yosef is saying is that when is there a din of kim lei b'rabbi minei, that if you get death and money, you only have death, not money? If the death and the money is to the same person. But if there's death for one instance and money to somebody else, so then there's no din of kim lei b'rabbi minei. What's the case over here?
Because the money goes to the
first group. Right, they wanted the girl to get killed. They wanted that there should be no ksuba either. So the father was going to lose out of ksuba. But $100, right? No, but it's the same act. The same act. The death in the punishment is going to the same person. It's death because they testified against the girl. The money of the ksuba is going to the girl. Normally it would go to the girl.
To the father or to the girl?
To the girl, but she died, so the father inherits it. But it's to the girl. You don't pay the father. You're paying the money to... Well, the Gemara's going to see. Okay, you gave in... Thursday, you give it to the father, but it's for the girl. But here, no. In the last case...
But if she's incriminated and she's dead, she gets killed, there's no...
But they're testifying... One second. The third group is testifying that the second group should get killed. Okay? Right? They're testifying the group should get killed. Now, what are they also testifying? about the husband paying the money to the girl's father. There's nothing to do with those witnesses. It's the next step.
Why not
the witnesses have nothing to do with the father.
Why pay the money to the father? Why not to the girl who's her son?
Well, because she's still a ketana.
Oh, I see.
Instead, so here you're killing the witnesses for something they did against the witnesses, nothing to do with the girl and the man. The money is going from the guy husband to the father. See, in the first case, it's going directly to the people involved, the father and the girl. So therefore, it's money and death over the same thing. Here, you want to kill the second set of witnesses, but the husband has to pay money to the father. That's two separate people. So then you don't say, Kim Leib the Rabbi Mine.
So here, two sets of witnesses that get killed?
No, only one gets ends up getting killed.
So Rabbi, when you have this thing of three witnesses, so
The three groups, you mean?
Three groups of witnesses, right?
Yeah.
So the second one ends up getting killed. Are the first one reinstated now? They could be, they're qualified witnesses now in the court, in the trial again?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So then if the first ones are reinstated again, that means the girl is going to end up getting killed. So the girl is getting killed, and the second set of witnesses are getting killed. That's three people getting killed.
At least.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I have to see again if the first witnesses are reinstated, or once they become nullified, they're nullified completely. One second. They testified against the first group. Yeah, so you don't have witnesses.
Yes, you do.
The first set aren't reinstated or they're not reinstated?
I don't know. I have to check.
Why not? That's what we've just discussed.
Because once they became disqualified, the question is, can we read qualify?
Retroactively, they're...
I could be, I don't know.
So why the money is being exchanged?
Huh?
So why is the money being exchanged? If they're disqualified...
There's no money given.
Yeah, exactly.
If the first set is reinstated, there's no ksuba.
Right. First set is reinstated and the money just...
You're saying you're not sure if she gets killed. But for sure, their testimony is validated. She was misunderstood.
The second ones.
I mean, she might
one
not
second. The first group was invalidated. Then they were reinstated. And the third group invalidated the second. Yeah, it could be that she would get killed. Yeah.
And there's no money. And there's no suit.
Yeah.
Mizani.
Either money or kill.
No, this would only make sense if the first ones don't get reinstated. Because if they get reinstated, then the ketubah money starts getting to the father again, and then the second one didn't do anything with the money.
I don't have to think about this a little bit.
Why?
If the first witness, because once they're disqualified, maybe they're disqualified.
Why?
Because if they're disqualified, Bezdin disqualified them, so you can't reinstate them. But let's figure this out. The witnesses said she committed adultery. They became Azama. And then the first one became Azama.
Second.
We always believe the second group, the last group.
The last group.
And we do to the previous group what they wanted to do to the first group.
I don't have to look this up. I don't know. I have to look into it. I don't know. What?
Whatever says on the ketubah, does it hold in the civil court?
Yes. It depends on the judge. No. It depends on the judge.
I witness sometimes the boy is hot. I give the same amount of her weight, diamond, and stuff like that. And if divorce happens, he has to pay all those amounts. It doesn't hold.
It does hold, but the Ashkenazim never did that. They always had a set amount. In the Sephardic community for many, many, many years, they were writing millions of dollars because, yeah? And to my understanding, all the Sephardic Rabbanim stopped it because it was getting out of hand. The guy was all in love and he gave $1 million and then 2 weeks later, so they stopped it. They said, that's it, the set ksuban, that's it.
And could the ger bring charges against a man doing adultery?
No.
Chauvinistic.
Because Torah is chauvinistic. If a married man commits adultery, he doesn't get killed. Because a man can have many wives. Unless if he commits adultery with a married woman.
Yeah, no, wife is not an adultery. It's when it's not married.
No, I'm saying if a married man commits adultery with a single girl,
yes,
he doesn't get killed. But if a married woman commits adultery with a single boy, she they does both, get killed.
They both get killed. The,
yeah.
The man also.
Yeah, yeah.
The Gemara says over here, the eighth case, we're talking about, now this is the ninth one. What are we talking about?
No, this is not the ninth case. The first case with the different ways of learning the Machlekes to the Meir and the Chacham.
The eighth
explanation of the argument between the Meir and the Chacham in the Mishnah of 3 or 23. Okay.
Take you.
Okay. Now let's start. This Gemara is very interesting. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Reis says another din.
9b2.
Okay. Pleni Ravani Laansi. If, now, according to Halacha, if somebody is homosexual, you sodomize a man, it's capital punishment. Right? That's the Halacha. So now a guy says like this, Pleni Ravoi La'onsei. A certain person, a guy comes to Beth and says, this guy sodomized me. Hu va'achem etztarfim horgei. And him and another witness can testify to kill the guy that did it. In other words, a guy comes to Beis Din and says, Reuven sodomized me against my will. So, you know, I was raped, basically, I was forced, yeah? And then another witness comes and testifies the same thing. That guy, Reuven's going to get killed.
The second one had the same thing happen to him?
No, testifying this same case. Not to somebody else. Reuven comes to Beis Din, Yaakov comes to Beis Din, and says, Reuven sodomized me. Okay? Then, Shimon comes and says, yes, I saw Reuven sodomize Yaakov. So even though it happened to him, he could be counted as one witness. Together with another witness, the guy gets killed. Okay? What happens, Lertzainai? What happens if he said he did it willingly to me? Then, Rashahu. Then the guy that it happened to was a Rasha. Valteira Amra Altoshes Rasha Aid. A witness, there was a Rasha, cannot be a witness. A Rasha cannot be a witness. What happened over here? Yaakov comes and says, Reuven sodomized me willingly. I was a part of it. I did it willingly. So Yaakov automatically becomes a Rasha because he sinned. So he can't testify against Reuven's act together with Shimon, who's testifying against Reuven, because he's not believed anymore because he's a Rasha.
But he's also incriminated.
If he was, 1 minute. If he was, this Rav is going to come a case. If he said, I did it against my will, he forced me, so then I didn't sin. The guy forced me. So then he's a kosher witness. But if he said, I did it willingly, then he's a Rasha, sinning willingly, and then he can't testify to somebody else.
What if he did tshuva after the
fact? Doesn't matter.
Is he himself
by doing a willing sodomy subject?
Yeah, he's not allowed to.
Punishment? No. Is it not punishable if two people are doing a consensual
sodomy? That's the next case coming up.
1 second. Rava Amar, Rava argues on Rav Yosef.
Is this every case of Lotase?
Yeah. Rava Amar, Rava says, no. The guy is not believed to testify that he did it willingly.
Against himself.
Against himself. You can't incriminate yourself in Torah law. There's a massive difference between Torah law and secular law in this. According to Rava, when the guy comes... When Yaakov comes and says, Reuven sodomized me willingly, he's not believed under willingly. Because a person is not believed to say he sinned. So then, he's not a Rasha. He's not believed that it was done willingly, but he's believed that he did it to him. He and somebody else can put Reuven to the capital punishment. Rav Yosef says, once you said you did an Aveda, you're testifying against yourself and you're believed. So you're a Rasha. If you're a Rasha, you can't testify against the other guy. Rava says you can't testify. And this is a very interesting halacha, by the way. In civil law, if a guy comes to court, and there's a dead body somewhere, and a guy comes to court and says, I did it, that's it, the guy's done. He's believed. In Torah law, if a guy comes to Beis Din and says, you know what, that guy that's dead on the floor, I did it, you don't believe him. Because a person is not believed to incriminate himself, to make himself a Rasha.
Why?
Why? He says, because Adam Karev Eitzel Atzmi. Because a person is related to himself, and therefore, to testify against yourself that you sinned, you're not believed because you're a relative. To yourself.
In Torah law, there's an automatic fifth amendment.
No, and it goes even more. Even if you said I did it.
Yeah, it's a fourth fifth.
For instance, in monetary issues, it doesn't work like that. If I testify I broke your window, I have to pay. Because it's money. Not a Russia. I damaged you, I have to pay damages. Right? So then, I have to pay. But if I say, a guy comes to Beis Din and says, guess what? I just had a cheeseburger, give me Malkus. Give me lashes. Beis Din says, go home.
Can you give us more example of someone being considered a Rasha?
What's a Rasha? Yeah. One who desecrates Shabbos, one who doesn't keep kosher, one who transgresses negative commandments in the Torah.
One who just willingly disarmed me.
Yeah.
Oh, that I know. I just wanted other cases.
Yeah, but any negative commandment.
Or not doing your puzzle.
No, that doesn't make you a Russian.
Really?
How would be active. A Russian if it's like Tinik Shenishba?
Oh, so that's why today Shemir Shabbos is Tinik Shenishba, so they're not considered Shemir Mechal Shabbos. Okay, anyway, Rav Amar, Adam Karev Eitzel Atzmi, a person related to himself, Vein Adam Eitzel Atzmi Rasha. And therefore, but what's interesting over here, as the Gemara is going to say the expression, you cut his words in half. Listen to this. I testify, let's say, God forbid, it happened to me, yeah? And I testify, you did it to me, and I did it willingly. So in one breath, I'm saying, he did it to me willingly. So according to Rava, we believe that you did it, but not willingly. That means in one statement, you cut a second statement in half. You understand?
No.
No.
Huh?
What is
the guy says, I say, he did it to me willingly. So, Rava says, I'm believed to be a witness against him if somebody else comes to testify. Right? But not that he did it to me willingly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That means in one statement that I'm testifying, he did it willingly to me, that I was willingly involved. Beis Din believes in that he did it, but not willingly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you cannot incriminate yourself.
Right. So therefore we cut, it's called Pagin and Diburi. We cut his testimony in half.
Two segments.
Rabbi, why doesn't the concept of Adam Karov as he's close to himself apply damages?
Because it's not a Russia.
Why? When you hurt someone's property, you're a Russia, no?
Because admission of money, what happens... If I come to Beis Din, in Beis Din, we're sitting there, yeah? And I say to Beis Din, in front of you, whatever, I owe you $1,000.
Because you stole it.
No. I owe you $1,000. And two witnesses come and say you don't. You believe him or the witnesses?
You should believe him. Witnesses are not with them 24 hours a day.
So the din is, you believe the guy, not the witnesses. Why? Because he does baldin, the admission money, not in capital or in monetary issues. The testimony of the person, it says the expression kameya edim, but it means more than witnesses. Okay, 1 second. The question is, two witnesses is the strongest, number one. Secondly, I'm related to myself. How can I testify against myself in monetary issues? Right? I'm a relative. How can I testify against myself? So there's a whole ksos in yeshivish world. The ksos explains three things. But one of the things the ksos explains is because I can obligate myself money even if witnesses say they don't. I can still give you a gift of $1,000. If I say I owe you $1,000, okay, the witnesses say I don't, but I still can give you a gift of $1,000 even though I don't owe you the money. So if I say I owe you $1,000, even though the witnesses say you don't, I still have to pay it. Because I can obligate myself something that the witnesses are not telling me to obligate it.
But if you steal that money, you say I owe you $1,000, I stole it, that stealing is against one of the commandments.
So then he's not believed to incriminate himself that he stole the money. But that's in the sin aspect, in the monetary aspect, if the witnesses that he stole, then he has to pay it.
So, Rabbi, again, if a person does a sin, he cannot be a witness against himself, right?
He's a Russian.
Right.
So what about his own feeling and his own relationship? Let's say if he really did do the sin, and within himself...
So he has to do tshuva between him and God. The courts cannot kill you. If somebody comes along to Beis Din and says, I killed somebody, and there's no other witnesses, right? It was the middle of the night in a dark alley somewhere, he killed somebody, yeah? And you come to Beis Din, you're remorseful. You know, you say, I'm sorry, I killed this guy. Beis Din says, I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you, go home. You can't get killed. Will Hashem kill the guy, somebody falling off a ladder on top of his head and kill him? Maybe. That's God's business. But the person can go home and do tshuva between him and God. That's what he has to do. But Beis Din can't kill you. No, or another case. What happens if somebody killed somebody in cold-blooded murder and there's only one witness? Or there are only two witnesses, but they happen to be Moshe and Aaron, who happen to be brothers. You can't kill the guy. Did he do it? There's no question that he did it. Yeah? Did OJ do it? There's no question OJ did it. Everybody knew right away OJ did it. But they couldn't prove it in court. And therefore, the court can't kill him.
He ended up in jail anyway.
Huh? Because of civil cases.
Civil case. But if a witness says he killed and he also says I killed, then he's
no,
not even then.
It's only one witness,
so he need to have two witnesses,
right? Besides him.
And the woman can never testify that the guy did it. It combined with somebody else. You don't.
She's not a kosher witness.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. That's what God says,
she
man.
She experienced it. She has evidence.
It's not going to work. Even the DNA is extremely good.
Injury and copulation, it's not considered.
It's injury, but you're not going to get capital punishment.